Well, yeah, it's great to be here, of course, to be with you as we're sort of kicking off a brand new summer series, Relationships Matter. I think Brandon talked about the fear of the Lord on Wednesday, and that was sort of a launching pad. And for the most part today, my message is essentially previewing what we're doing all summer as we work our way through different life issues, work our way through the book of Proverbs and how Proverbs speaks to life. And all areas of life. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message is Believer to Life. Believer to Life. And in particular, we're looking at wisdom. We're going to overview wisdom. So Believer to Life, wisdom. And if you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We will spend all of our time in that text. Well, in 2011, in the high Arctic tundra of Canada, first Air Flight 6560 slammed into a hillside, killing all but three of its passengers. At this point in the 21st century, that was the deadliest crash in Canada. After an investigation, it was found that the navigation sensors of the Boeing 737 were apparently misaligned. Combined with drizzle and fog, made the landing risky and almost impossible. However, in the final 2 minutes before the plane crashed, the first officer made almost half a dozen suggestions that the plane's altitude was questionable. The captain refused to listen. 1 minute and 20 seconds before the crash, the first officer recommended that the landing be aborted. In total, do not land. Over the next minute or so, he repeatedly said and pleaded for corrective action to take place. Do not land this plane. Do not land it. 6 seconds before the plane crashed, the first officer looked at the captain and said, quote, I don't like this. 1 second later, the first officer cried out one final time to abort the landing. It goes on record that less than a second before the crash, the captain finally started the abort procedure. But it was too late. The plane crashed into the hillside, killing everyone except for three people. In our passage this morning, wisdom personified. Wisdom is presented as a person. But this person, wisdom, cries and calls out for people to listen to her. And if you don't listen to her, if you do not listen to wisdom all throughout the book of Proverbs and of course, the totality of Revelation, you will face spiritual disaster. You may even face spiritual death. You will crash and burn, spiritually speaking, if you do not heed to the call of wisdom. On the other hand, if you do listen to wisdom, if you do take her voice to heart, you will be blessed, spiritually speaking, by the one true God, Yahweh himself. You will truly live, actually. You will live if you listen to wisdom. Well, what is it that wisdom wants us to know? What is wisdom telling us exactly? Well, in Proverbs 8, wisdom makes five demands that she intends to use to save you from spiritual disaster. These five demands will save you from crashing into the pit of hell. Now, let me be clear this morning. There are two options when it comes to wisdom. Either you listen to wisdom, or you do not. And let me also be clear, there are two consequences. Either you will be blessed by God and you will truly live, or you will crash and die. So before we get to those five demands, Let's define a few terms or answer a few questions. First off, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, Proverbs uses a series of synonyms that, when fully combined, give us a detailed framework for what wisdom actually is. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're not going to turn there, but if you have time this week, read Proverbs chapter 1, and you'll find all of these synonyms basically establishing the framework for the remainder of the book, for the rest of the 31 chapters. I've placed these synonyms in four groups for you. Group number 1, instruction and training. So when we think of wisdom, we have to think of it as instruction and training. To be instructed and trained as a disciple. Of course, the classic example of that would be Jesus and his disciples in the New Testament. But when we're talking about wisdom, to understand it fully, we have to understand that one component, one part of wisdom is training and instruction. It means to receive knowledge and to have it cemented in your mind, established in your mind, engraven on your heart. Category number 2, or group number 2, understanding and insight. Understanding and insight. This means that you need to have a sense of what's going on. Wisdom provides that. You need to understand and perceive reality. I mean, you can turn on the news. No one's understanding and perceiving reality. But we as believers are called to take heed to wisdom and to understand reality. Wisdom will do that for you. The third group, knowledge and learning. To be successful in knowing and learning. I was not successful in school. But we all can be successful in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Scripture, wisdom. To grow in advice and direction. To progress. And then the last one here, discretion. Discretion, being able to know your way, to plan, to be able to advise others. So instruction and training, understanding and insight, knowledge and learning and discretion. Of course, those are all synonymous and they're meant to be. They all have nuances and different degrees to their meaning, but essentially they all fall under the umbrella of what? Wisdom. Of wisdom. And there's one fifth group that we could add to the mix here, and that would be practicality. Practicality. Now, I think that one's obvious. Accruing knowledge and understanding and insight, and then not actually applying it, that's not true wisdom. In other words, true wisdom is always what? Okay, not all at once. It's practical. Truism is always applied. So we know what wisdom is. Where does wisdom come from? Where does wisdom come from? Well, wisdom comes from God. In other words, God is the source and origin of wisdom. Romans 16, 27, that we looked at last week, Paul writes that God is the only wise God. He's the only wise God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, speaking of Christ, says that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah, absolutely. And then Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, actually calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of, what do you think? Wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. So when we think about wisdom, its origin and its source is found in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So we know where it comes from, but how does it get to us? How does it get to us? Well, it comes through revelation. It comes through the written Word of God, and then it comes through the incarnate Word of God. We see wisdom laid out on the pages of Holy Scripture, and then we see it played out in the person of Jesus Christ. You see? So as we begin to master and understand Scripture, and as we begin to understand Jesus Christ, His person and His work, we are showered with wisdom. And then it is to be applied. Now, with that brief foundation, let's consider each one of wisdom's five demands. Again, we'll find these five demands in Proverbs chapter 8. Demand number one, wisdom demands to be heard. Wisdom demands to be heard. This is verses 1 through 4, so you follow along as I read that text. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." Wisdom demands to be heard. And notice that wisdom is calling out and crying out. The verb call means to proclaim. Its Greek New Testament counterpart is actually the word that means to proclaim or herald the gospel. Here, wisdom is making a proclamation. Wisdom is lifting up her voice as loud as she possibly can and calling for people to listen. Notice where wisdom is located here to do this. Wisdom, according to verse 2, is at the top of the heights. An elevated position. Now, we understand that, do we not? It's way easier to get everybody's attention when you're on an elevated position, when you are above everyone. Wisdom is crying out from the top of the heights, "Listen to me." Wisdom is where all of the paths meet. She's at the most traveled and crowded intersections. We understand this, right? We all have those crowded intersections in the back of our mind that we don't want to go through or don't want to get caught at. Wisdom is at those crowded intersections, crying and calling out, "Listen to me." Wisdom is beside the city gates. We understand this as well. People go in and out of the city through the gates. It's the most crowded place in terms of traffic. Some of you guys faithfully serve by opening the door and greeting people as they walk into church. Why do we place you there and not the choir practice room? Greet and wave at Seth the entire morning. Well, there's a reason that you're there. It's because that's where everyone walks by. The same would be true of wisdom. Wisdom is there at those doors, at those gates, crying out, "Listen to me." Wisdom is essentially taking on the role of a street preacher. Wisdom is out in the public square making a proclamation. Our church is heavily involved in making public proclamations of the gospel week in and week out. That's essentially what wisdom is doing. Wisdom is confronting you and saying, "Are you going to listen to me?" Wisdom is out in the open. There's no walls, no closed doors, no dark corners. Completely out in the open, crying out for you to hear. Now, there's two different words used for men here in verse 4, and the latter speaks of all mankind. So no one is exempt. No one's exempt. Wisdom is calling out to every single soul alive. So even here this morning, brothers and sisters, there's no hiding from wisdom. Wisdom's calling you. Wisdom is talking to you. Wisdom is crying out to you personally. Wisdom doesn't care if you're male or female, rich or poor, single or married, young or old. The list goes on. Fill in the blank. Wisdom does not care. Wisdom is crying out to you individually to hear her. So not only does wisdom demand to be heard, number two, wisdom demands to be understood. Wisdom demands to be understood. Let's pick up in verse 5. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things, for my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Let me repeat that again. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Verse 8. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Look back with me here at verse 10. I really want this to sink in. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold? I mean, what would you rather have, honestly? $1 million? Or an expanse knowledge and understanding of wisdom? Now, truly, ask yourself that. What would you rather have? Because wisdom cries out and says, take my instruction, not silver. Take my knowledge and not gold. I don't know, man, for me, like 12 years ago, I'd have been up on that gold and silver real quick. Where are you at with that, though? Honestly, is wisdom really better than jewels in your mind? Or put in X possession, whatever you want from this world, place that there. Is wisdom to you better than that? Two times in verse 5, there's a command to understand wisdom. That is to say that wisdom isn't making suggestions. It isn't an option or a take it or leave it situation. In other words, as you leave this building and go up to the worship center, you can't be like, I'm just going to leave that behind. Now, wisdom doesn't give you that option. Wisdom is commanding you to listen, commanding you to take heed to her words. It's a command for all people, not only the redeemed. Look back up at verse 5. Wisdom is a command for you if you are in Christ. But this morning, if you are not in Christ, wisdom is also commanding you to listen to her. You see, no one's exempt. I mentioned this earlier. No one is exempt. Wisdom is crying out and calling, listen to me, all of mankind, according to verse 5. Now notice, wisdom not only is crying out, but wants to be understood. And by that, that implies that wisdom can be known. So wisdom wants us to know her and understand her. But what about that? Well, verse 6 says, my lips reveal right things. Verse 7 says, my mouth utters truth. Verse 8 says, all of the utterances of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing crooked in them. Verse 9 says they are straightforward. Verse 9 says they are right. When wisdom speaks, listen to me here, when wisdom speaks, she only speaks the purest, the cleanest, and the most excellent words. The most excellent instruction. The purest form of training and understanding and insight. The greatest and purest knowledge and learning. The quality of wisdom is unsurpassed. And there's not one hint of wickedness in wisdom. That's why I had you look at verse 7 twice. Let's make it three times. Look at verse 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It's detestable, loathsome. So wisdom wants you to understand that she is as pure as it gets. Even the hint of something detestable is evil and wicked in the eyes of wisdom, which would ultimately be evil and wicked in the eyes of God. Now, I'm not going to rehearse all of the blatant wickedness that we see in our culture today. You see it, right? Are those things an abomination to you? Are those wicked things actually wicked to you? Or are you sort of dipping your toes in the culture? Well, that doesn't necessarily affect me, so it's not that bad. How abominable are those things to you? For example, when the culture tries to redefine marriage, they just throw their definition on it. I mean, do you consider that to be wicked? Or are you okay with that? Then the list ultimately goes on and on and on and on. Now, of course, there's love and grace and compassion that we must bring to the table. That is wise. But abominable things, we don't dip our toes in. We do not affirm, because wisdom doesn't affirm those things. To live wisely in this world is to take heed to her pure words and then to apply those to your daily living and your situation and your circumstances. I don't know everybody's circumstance in here, but I do know if you take heed to wisdom, you will live life God's way. And it will be honoring to Him. Wisdom is so pure that it demands to be taken over silver, over gold, over jewels. One commentator said this: if it were to put our choice whether to be rich or holy, we ought not for a moment to hesitate in deciding. Rich or holy? Which one do you want? Which one do you desire? When you begin to understand wisdom and the fact that she is demanding that you do, you will begin to live a life of holiness unto God. And that is infinitely better than your bank account, than your car, than your house, etc. So wisdom demands to be heard. Wisdom demands to be understood. And thirdly, wisdom demands to be treasured. Wisdom demands to be treasured. We're going to read verses 12 through 21, a little longer portion of Scripture here. But I want you to track with me so you can see wisdom's thought as we work through this third point. Wisdom demands to be treasured. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. That is a great verse to underline. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek will find me. Wisdom will never turn you away. Wisdom will never shut you down. Wisdom wants to be sought, and she will have open arms to embrace you. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Again, wisdom is making demands. Notice first off that wisdom casts off anything and all things that are antithetical to her purity. Go back up in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I think Brandon covered that on Wednesday, did he not? The fear of the Lord? Let me see some head nods. Okay, thank you. Then I didn't listen to a different message. That was the right one. Okay. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But look next what wisdom says. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. Now, notice those are connected. They are linked. So to be prideful is actually to be what? Yeah, evil. So pride, arrogance, the evil way. What about the next one here at the end of verse 13? The perverted mouth. The perversions that came out of my mouth before Christ were wicked. Wisdom hated those things. Let me ask you this morning, is that something you struggle with? Perversions coming out of your mouth. Not necessarily just profanities, although that is included. Let me take it one step further. Do you bite your tongue? We understand that phrase. Do you bite your tongue, but in your heart you speak perverted wisdom or perversions? Wisdom casts off anything that isn't pure. Which is to say, once you begin to walk in biblical wisdom, what does that look like for you personally? You become more what? More holy, more pure, more like Christ. Now, besides the glory of God, is that not the goal? To be more like Christ? Wisdom isn't neutral, and you shouldn't be either. Wisdom is not indifferent towards perversions, arrogance, wickedness. Wisdom hates ungodly actions and ungodly words. We have to as well. Again, of course, that is mingled with grace, compassion, and love for those who do not know Christ. But at the same time, because wisdom is not neutral, we cannot be either. We just can't be okay with sin and perversions and corruptions and things that are in direct opposition to God and His Word. That is not wise. Wisdom loves purity. And we should as well. Wisdom is the purest form of knowledge, instruction, learning, understanding, discretion. Wisdom demands for all of those things to be treasured. If your house was on fire, or your apartment, or wherever you live, and you had 1 minute to get out of there alive, what would you go and take with you? What possessions would you seek to grab to get out of there before that property was destroyed? Do you value wisdom more than those things? Do you treasure wisdom more than those earthly treasures? I mean, to some degree, we have those things, right? I mean, I can think of some things right offhand that I would go grab, like my wife and kids. Probably some other things as well, okay? But do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about stuff that we treasure, possessions that we treasure. Wisdom ought to supersede those things. Wisdom demands that those things are put under wisdom, below wisdom. And by the way, this isn't for common people only. The peasants, riffraff, kings, princes, nobles, and judges are all mentioned here. Wisdom transcends social status. It's not bound to a certain class, a job, a college, gender, ethnicity, none of that. Again, wisdom doesn't care about that. Wisdom wants every individual to treasure her. And wisdom cries out from the mountains, from the doors, from the gates, treasure me. I am good. I am pure. You can live if you live by me. This is why down in verse 19, take your eyes there, verse 19, my fruit is better than pure gold. My fruit is better than gold, better than choicest silver. I mean, wisdom knows herself, does she not? She knows that her fruit is better than anything that this world can offer. Will you treasure her? I mean, dig down into your heart of hearts this morning. Now, I know that life is busy and there's a lot going on, but take a split second to think as deeply as you possibly can. Will you walk out of this room and off this campus wanting to and desiring to treasure wisdom? Wisdom wants you to do that so badly. What is your treasure? Wisdom wants it to be her. So wisdom demands to be heard. Wisdom demands to be understood. Wisdom demands to be treasured. And fourthly, wisdom demands to be authoritative. Wisdom demands to be authoritative. Now, verses 22 through 31. Some have said that these are the verses of the book of Proverbs. In other words, the heart of the entire book is found in these verses. It's a breathtaking portion of Scripture. Let's read it together. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest of times of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made the firm skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set forth the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now, right off the bat, what portion of Scripture is this alluding to or taking you back to? Anybody? Creation. Yeah, creation. Genesis. This is Genesis chapter 1. This is one of the best defenses, I think, outside of the book of Genesis for creation. For God being in control of creation, for God speaking it into existence. Forget what the world says about it. I mean, this is a component of wisdom that we have to hold on to. Creation. A breathtaking portion of Scripture. The verses of Proverbs. Now, I might add here that we must be on guard against developing bad theology from these verses. These verses do not teach that wisdom is some sort of deity in herself. You know, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No, wisdom was just, you know, this other side deity. Proverbs chapter 8 does not teach that wisdom is some sort of God. Now that, in fact, This is the entire meaning of the passage, but also the remainder of Scripture. Proverbs isn't teaching that wisdom is a god, lowercase g. It actually teaches that wisdom is from God. Proverbs chapter 8 doesn't teach that wisdom needs to be worshipped, but that God needs to be worshipped. So make sure that your understanding of this text is clear. Wisdom is not some fourth god. Wisdom is found in God, as we demonstrated from the top. So this passage is teaching that in God's infinite and pure wisdom, He created the world. By wisdom, He created the world and He currently sustains it. In God's wisdom, He created reality. This is the connection that's linked here to what we've been previously discussing in terms of wisdom's demands. God has created reality and wisdom sees that reality perfectly. That's why wisdom is saying, look, if you just listen to me, you can live in this life as it's supposed to be lived. In its most purest form that a redeemed sinner can possibly live, wisdom is telling us. We live in a world where everything is fluid, is it not? I mean, you wake up one day and someone else has redefined another term. I mean, just this past week, we had celebrities jump on Twitter and tell us what pronouns they want to be called by. Well, Romans 1 calls that foolish. That's not reality. That's not what God's Word has taught us. That's not wisdom. Again, as I mentioned previously, we've got the liberal and LGBT community trying to tell us what marriage is. Now, it's the other way around. We tell people what marriage is because God has defined it. And God's the authority, is He not? Wisdom is demanding to be authoritative. Wisdom is not optional. Wisdom is the authority because wisdom comes from God. And it's demonstrated here by discussing wisdom's act and work in creation. Only the infinitely wise God could create as He created and to bring forth a reality like He has brought forth. We must see it through His lens. We must see it through His eyes. We must let Him speak and be all authoritative in our life and in our thinking. These verses are God's divine stamp of approval on wisdom. God wants you to understand wisdom and treasure it and live it. It's been said that wisdom was personified to direct our worship to the Father who gives wisdom, Christ who teaches and embodies the wisdom of God, and the Spirit who grants wisdom. Wisdom is authoritative. Lastly, wisdom personified makes one more demand. One more demand. Wisdom demands to be applied. Wisdom demands to be applied. You follow along as I conclude this chapter, beginning in verse 32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. You see how this call to listen, it's a bookend. Chapter 8 starts with this call, and then it ends with this call. Therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself.
All those who hate me love death. What a way to end that, by the way. I mean, be honest with yourself. Can you imagine audibly saying that you want to injure your soul? I don't think anybody woke up this morning and that was one of the first things that came to mind. I really can't wait to injure my soul today. I really can't wait to injure my spiritual self. The Hebrew word for injure, by the way, means to treat violently, to shake violently. I mean, no one would honestly say that in here, that you desire to violently shake your soul. Well, the one who sins against wisdom, the one who sins against God, violently shakes his soul, injures himself. My older brother, just a couple weeks ago, was out in Mineral Wells on a trail run. Not a smart idea, as you will see. And he tripped because it had been raining for like 3 straight months. It's all it does here now, apparently. Seattle, I guess. He tripped, slipped on a boulder as he was running about a mile and a half away from the end of the race. I think he was almost at the end, dead last, I mean. But anyways, it didn't matter. He definitely finished last after this. He slipped and went face first into a boulder. Shattered his nose. Yeah, I mean, his nose was like in his cheek. It was disgusting. Shattered his eye socket, his cheek. I mean, the entire side of his face was mangled. He's okay now, though. Saw him yesterday. He's doing great. It's wild how the body can heal itself after a couple surgeries and 2 weeks of time. It's amazing. If you don't listen to wisdom, that's what you're doing to your soul. You guys get that? I should have pulled up a picture. That'd have been great. You understand the point that I'm making here? But no one says they want to injure their soul. No one honestly says that. But are you living that way? That's really the greater question. Are you living that way? I mean, you could tell me after the service that you're not living that way. I don't know. I see you like once a month, if that. But you know, don't you? You know how you're living. Are you treating your soul this way? Are you violently hurting yourself, spiritually speaking, because you don't want to listen to God? You don't want to listen to his word? You don't want to bow the knee to Christ? You love death if that's how you live. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says, listen to me. That's a command. Heed and hear instruction. That's a command. But here's the thing. Why is wisdom saying it like this? What are the benefits of wisdom? We just saw it. Look at verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me. I know at first glance that may not be riveting. That's probably not groundbreaking to your eyes and your ears to hear that. But is there anything better than being blessed by our God? What's better than that? If you take heed to wisdom, you will be blessed. It's interesting. Hebrew sentences typically begin with verbs. Not in that case. Verse 34, blessed is moved up to the front for emphasis. You will be blessed if you listen to wisdom. If you follow her demands, you will be blessed. Look at verse 35. For he who finds me finds life. If you think that you have truly been living, take hold of wisdom and you will truly be what? Yeah, you will really live. You will really live. One commentator said, "Wisdom's offer of life is predicated on acceptance of the instruction she holds out to all. Life can either be cut short and emptied, or it can be enriched, lived to the fullest. This gift of life can either be joined to wisdom. She who knows the structure and plan of its creator, or suffer the consequences of doing without it." And I presented that at the top of the message. You either listen to wisdom or you don't. But you will suffer the consequences of that decision, of that choice. You will either live and live life to the fullest, God's way, or you will violently ruin your life. Well, what does it look like to live with wisdom? Well, we've got all summer to look at the book of Proverbs and define how that practically works out in your own life. We're going to talk about money, relationships, husband and wife, parents to kids, kids to parents, believers and friends, believers in work, life, family, a believer's heart, a believer's words, etc., etc. Take heed to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Take heed to her demands, and you will truly live. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your word. Not only the written word, but the Lord Jesus Christ, your incarnate word. We find wisdom all over the pages of Scripture and in the person of Christ. Help us get ourselves out of the way and take heed to what you are teaching us in your word and Jesus Christ. Father, we want to live. And we can do that if we listen to you. Father God, we are grateful for Jesus Christ. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. Help us run to him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.